If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The Holy Spirit, we need to understand just what he does. Did he come to help us talk in tongues? No. Is that an initial sign of his indwelling? Initial. Does that sign come to everyone? It should, but in most cases it doesn't, because the recipient is often afraid because of the external pressure to speak in tongues. And so when you're pressured, your performance level decreases. You ever watch Chopped? Now, these are all professional cooks who cook quite well. They wouldn't be on that show. Now, I like watching it because, you know, I like cooking and recipes. I don't like to cook, but I like cooking and recipes, you know, and watching cooks. And I watch them under pressure because they only have so many minutes to prepare that dish. Now, they can prepare the dish, and sometimes the chef will say, I was running out of time, and I knew I had to do something. And that pressure causes them to give a less than stellar performance. Because of the pressure that comes from organized church, when the Holy Spirit comes, because we've been convinced in our minds that the Spirit's arrival comes with the tongue of the person outside of me, I feel pressure to say what they say. So 90% of the Pentecostal movement speaks in a tongue that usually consists of aya, yatabobobakachabaha. So much so that most of you can say it without the Spirit's intervention. Now, in the book of Acts, when they spoke in tongues on chapter 2, the Bible distinctly says that there were specific people who heard their own language. It didn't say it was jibber-jabber generated by emotions. So in the old days of the tarry service, there would be two or three people standing around you, yelling in each ear and in the back of your head, and the bold ones in your face, say Jesus, amen, hallelujah, Jesus, come on through. You're confused. The Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came like cloven tongues of fire, split tongues of fire. The important part was not the tongue. It was the fire. Why was that essential? James tells us later. Sometimes the Bible, you have text, what you read, right? So verse 15 becomes your text. Then you have context. And context consists of two things, the near context and the far context. The near context, if verse 15 is your text, then the near context can be verse 12, 13, 14, or 16, 17, and 18, depending on Paul's writing. In Romans, the near context can be 10 verses up because he's just moving with steady stream. Then you have the far context. Now, the far context can usually be somewhere in that book, in another chapter in that book, so you can catch the same flavor that the author was given. Then you have the ultimate context, which is Genesis to Revelation. So I can read something in Romans, but in order to get clarity, I may have to go to Exodus or move over to Colossians. But somewhere in the book, I ought to be able to validate what I'm reading. Why? No scripture is given of private interpretation, but scripture interprets scripture. All right. So that means that the truth that I read here sometimes may be validated in a later book. Because remember, what you're getting in your Bible is not the chronological order. It is the canon order, but it's not the chronological order. So when Acts talks about cloven tongues of fire, there is no previous reference to why the fire is necessary. But later on, you get down to the general epistle of James, who says that the tongue is an unruly member, watch now, set on fire by the fires of hell. So if my tongue is set on fire by the fires of hell, then God needs to use the physical law of fighting fire with fire. There are times in California when the fire rages out of control. They can no longer extinguish it with water, so they set a perimeter fire so that once the aggressive fire hits the defensive fire, it'll burn out. So what God says is, since your unregenerate tongue is set on fire by the fires of hell, I'm going to send the fire of heaven to put that fire out. When he comes, he brings the purifying fire. The result of the tongues is not necessarily the result of his indwelling. Go with me. Go with me. That's why you got to take Bible classes. I'm teaching collegiate stuff. Holy Spirit did not come to teach us to dance. You were dancing before you were saved. He just takes your steps and makes them holy. You already had rhythm. You ever notice people who had no rhythm before Christ have no rhythm after Christ? You know as well as I do, the black folk don't need the Holy Ghost to dance. All we need is a good beat, because we have rhythm. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. David danced before the Lord with all his might. He wasn't filled with the Spirit. We say, I'm dancing in the Spirit. You may be. What Spirit? It might be the Spirit of Motown. Might be the Spirit of the world. What Spirit? Let us single out the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The tongues, that doesn't mean that you're Spirit-filled. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak in tongues of men and angels, but if I don't walk in love, he said, I'm just making noise. Amen. So stop all this. I tell you, stop it. That doesn't mean anything. Because once you're done, listen, some of the most beautiful snakes are poisonous. You cannot tell. My godson had to do a report in high school on diamondback rattlesnakes. So he and I went to the library to get some books, and I was amazed at how beautiful some of these snakes were. Copperheads, and oh my goodness, I said, Lord, they're so beautiful, but they're deadly. And there are people who speak in tongues, a beautiful tongue, but they're deadly. The tongue is like the rattle. You know the purpose of the rattle? Is to hypnotize you, so to speak. The rattlesnake shakes his tail, and that rattle causes you to turn and look for a moment. And in that moment, pow. Now, blood circulates in your body in 3.4 seconds. It runs from one side to the other. David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. 3.4 seconds, it's made a complete circuit through your body. Boy, we are something else. That poison injected in your leg, in 3 seconds, it's gone throughout your body, paralyzing your central nervous system. All because you stopped to look at the rattle. Even the cobra, when they wiggle, that hypnotizes you. You're sitting there wiggling right along with it. And while you wiggle, bing! And cobras are wicked. Not only can they bite you, they can spit venom. There are cobras called spitting cobras. And they'll spit right in your eye. That's why Satan chose a serpent to bring sin. It was beautiful, which meant it could get your attention. Now, why didn't the devil use a pig? Can you imagine a big, fat, stank pig coming over to Eve saying, did God say? She would have looked at him and just started seeing bottles of hot sauce. The Holy Spirit is here for two purposes. The tree trunk sprouts out into different branches. It has the main limb and then branches that come off the limb. The trunk of the Holy Spirit, the main purpose is to live in you and reveal God to you. That's his main purpose, to be God in you. That's it. Then those main branches that come off. Branch number one is John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and the King James says, and he shall give you another comforter. Again, when you're reading the Bible in 21st century terms, you have a problem, and it's not your problem. It's not our problem. It's just the problem of interpretation. We have the problem of reading what's written in these modern terms. So if I say to you, I'm going away tomorrow. Now, last Sunday, I gave you an orange. But I'm going away tomorrow, and I'm going to give you another orange. When I say I'm going to give you another orange, that's predicated on the fact that I gave you an orange to begin with when I use the word another. So in our minds, when we hear another, we immediately draw the conclusion that we had one before. So he's giving me another one because the term represents a repetitive thing. I'm giving you another one. You mean you had another child? You mean you have another husband or another wife? You mean you have another job because you had one? You see? All right, but when you look at this, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Now, the King James capitalizes comforter. It capitalizes comforter. Now, our term for comfort overshadows the biblical definition. So if I say, you need comfort, what image would come to your mind if I say you need comfort? Support, help, encouragement. See, all of these things come to our mind when I say you need comfort. If someone dies in your family and they say, let me comfort you, you're trying to make them feel better. But when he uses the word here, the Greek word is parakletos. And parakletos, the prefix para means alongside. It doesn't mean inside. It means alongside. For example, if someone starts a ministry outside the church, and it's not part of the church organizational structure. It is a para-church ministry. It's alongside of the work of the church, but it's not in the church. It's not bad, but it's a para-church organization. The police force is a paramilitary organization. It's not a military organization. It's a paramilitary organization. It's called alongside of the military. Are you hearing me? So Jesus says, he takes this two-pronged word, para, kletos. And he says that God is going to give you allos. Now, allos is another. But allos means one of the same kind. Are you familiar with the phrase, the differences are the same? Now, rationally, it drives me crazy. Because when you say there's differences, how can they be the same? But since it is a colloquialism, we understand that the differences are so minuscule that there's really no difference. But yet we give it a distinction for our purposes of understanding and communication. So we'll, in some cases, we'll use the phrase, the two of you are so alike that the differences are the same. You with me? You're looking at me like, are you confused? Okay, good, good. So Jesus says something here that is dynamic, that is so dynamic about the ministry of the Holy Spirit that one needs to pry into the simplicity of Scripture and find the complication of the Trinity. The Trinity is complicated, but it's simple. And the differences are the same. All in this phrase. If you understand the original language, you're not going to get it from the English. Because the English says, I'm going to pray to Father and he's going to give you another comforter. So you're saying, okay, give me another comforter. Because the comforter that I had is gone. Give me another comforter. Another comforter. No. The word allos means the same kind. So here's what Jesus is saying in plain English. When I leave you, if you love me, keep my commandments. And when I go home, I'm going to ask the Father to send you a comforter who's just like me so that you can recognize him. If he were not like Jesus, then why did Jesus say you would recognize him? Earlier, he tells us we can't recognize God because God is spirit. The only one we could recognize in the Godhead was Jesus. He's going away. He's going to ask the Father to send allos parakaleo. And he says, when he comes, you will recognize him. The world won't recognize him. Why not? Because they don't recognize me. But since you recognize me, you're going to recognize him because he's just like me. And what's he going to do? He's going to take everything that's me and reveal it to you. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to you who Jesus is. Watch now. So that Jesus can reveal who God is. So you will understand the mystery of the Trinity and be able to say with boldness, my God is one God, but he exists himself through three distinct representations. Nothing to do with tongues and dancing and shouting. I can do those things without it. So now Jesus says, I'm going to give you another comforter. Someone who's just like me. And he's going to come alongside of you. Para, alongside of you. That's the first definition. Alongside of. That's critical. But then he goes on and says, he will abide with you forever. Tell somebody, you can't get rid of the Holy Spirit. Now watch. This is the uniqueness of the Trinity. God is a killer. I don't care what your theology says. God is a killer. Oh, yeah, you read the Old Testament. God gets fed up. He just kills everybody. He just kill you. When he became angry with the children of Israel, he told Moses, leave me alone. Now, can you imagine God having a temper tantrum? Just leave me alone. I'm going to kill them all. Come on, God. After you went through all that demonstration of power to bring him out, this is how Moses rationalized it. Moses, you went through all that demonstration of power. You did all that great stuff. right? Open up the Red Sea, and then what did you do? Kill all the Egyptians. I kill everybody. God is a killer. Even the scripture said, for the Lord killeth. He brings down to the grave. He kills. And the reason you don't fear him is because you don't think he kills. I'm here to tell you today, God kills. And yeah, he'll kill you. And he'll kill me. I'm going to heaven, but he'll kill me. God is a killer. Does that make anybody else afraid but me? I'm scared of God. And I ain't talking about reverential fear. No, no, no. I fear God. I'm scared of him. I'll approach him because of the Holy Ghost. But when I approach him with anxiety. All right, Lord, did I mess up? Ooh, that's why I say, Jesus, cover me quick. Come on, Lord, wash me before I get in there. You go back and read that tabernacle. Boy, they had to, what was the first place they went? To that bloody brazen altar. God said, before you even get into the holy place, you can't come into the most holy place, but before you even get into the holy place where the showbread and the lights and the incense and all that other stuff is, he said, first thing you got to do is make bloody sacrifice. I want you to come and get yourself together. I thank God that Jesus paid that price for me. All I got to do is come boldly before the throne and say, Jesus, just wash a brother. Just help me out. I'm going to go talk to God. Fix it. I'm scared of God. That's right. God don't have a problem with me obeying those that are over me. He don't have a problem. I submit to authority because I know authority comes from God. And that person would not have authority if God didn't give it to them. So when I rebel against them, I'm rebelling against God. God didn't say I had to agree with the president. I just have to obey the laws unless those laws conflict with the word of God. And I don't do it because I'm afraid of the president, because I'm not going to stand before him when I die. I'm going to stand before Lord God Jehovah. So I'm making sure my house is in order. If he says don't do it, I'm not doing it. Even if it pains me. See, there's no fear of God. That's what Romans says. The reason why people slip into sin. There's no fear of God before our eyes anymore. We don't fear God's servants the way we used to in the Bible times. Oh, that's just Pastor Lambert. That's just so-and-so. He's just a man. Yeah, but I'm God's man. And the office that I hold is sacred. You honor the office. Now, let's go on here now, because I want to get this foundation laid. The other comforter, one like Jesus, is called alongside, and he abides forever. He doesn't leave you. Now, this is going to blow your Western theology right out. You make a date to go to a hotel with somebody. You're born again. Both of you born again. I don't know why God has me talking about this stuff today. Somebody got a key in their pocket to a hotel. Just come put it on the altar. I don't want you putting money at the altar, but I'll take your room key. But think about this. You make a plan to go to the hotel for a rendezvous, right, with somebody that you're not married to. And you're both filled with the Spirit. But in a moment of weakness, you had a Samson moment. You slip into the Holiday Inn. The Holy Spirit does not leave you. He's right there in that bed with you. He's watching everybody. Boy, the amens die. What'd you think? He got nervous and said, I can't go up in that room. I'm too holy. No, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. God sees everything you do from head to toe. It's being recorded for later playback if it's not under the blood. What did you think? You were doing that stuff and just getting away? you were getting by. The only way it's going to be ended is if you confess your sin, and then he's faithful and just to remove it. But this is where you run the risk of committing sin so often that you become hard to it, that there's no more conviction for it, and then you wind up not repenting of it. It doesn't take your salvation, but it dulls your relationship. You have no more praise. You don't want to read the Bible. You're not keeping up with us in our yearly Bible reading. You don't want to come to church because you've gone into a far country thinking that you're escaping the Spirit's eye. No, Jesus said he's going to be with you. He ain't leaving. He's watching everything you do. He's watching everything you do to each other. He's right there. You have to crawl over him to get to that other person. And then when you're done and you shower, he's right there. When you're sneaking out, he's right there. When you both get in your cars to go your separate ways, he's right there. And because he loves you, he'll let somebody see you. You say, hold it, Bishop. What do you mean? Because if somebody sees you, then you'll stop. Because then you'll be like, surely this thing is known. Exposure is the result of God's love. If he didn't love you, let me move on. He says, he's going to abide with you forever. And then Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. That means that when the Holy Spirit comes to live with you, you are not susceptible to lies. You really have to want to believe a lie. And there are people, unfortunately, who can't distinguish the lie from a truth. But there are psychological reasons for that that I'm not going to go into. It's not necessarily a spiritual reason. There are those who cannot receive love because they've been exposed to so much hatred that their input is clogged. They don't have any revelation of love. So they enter into relationships later in life and they just give affection. Now, unfortunately, these types of people are the ones who are the most susceptible to abuse. A woman who does not know love will allow a man to beat her. But if she knows love, she'll be like the woman in What's Love Got to Do with It? When Ike slapped her in the restaurant, she backed out. She said, you ain't got to hit me but one time. She told Tina, I feel sorry for you. Because Tina couldn't get out. But that woman backed up and said, you ain't got to hit me but one time. My daughter had a phrase. She said, if he just ball up his fist, she out the door. I said, baby, you ain't even got to worry about that. I said, if that November India Golf Golf Echo Romeo even raise his voice, he will meet Jesus. And I will be the travel agent. I have a heaven plan. Won't cost you nothing. You yelled at my daughter. You don't believe there's a God? There he is. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. But if you have been exposed to lies all your life, it is hard for you to receive truth. See, when you understand the dynamic of cultural experiences, then one begins to understand. I met with a group of college students from a prestigious school. Their instructor wanted them to come and sit with me because of the reputation of our church and our church planting experiences. And so these were well-to-do upper crust kids. I mean upper crust kids. You know, I'm talking about the kind of kids that when they close their car door, they look around your neighborhood and go, ooh. Do you see that, Chauncey? What's that, Matilda? There's a store on the corner. Oh, my. Look at the little children. Oh, their noses are so dirty. Oh, my God. So they came and sat with me. And some of them, I guess in preparation for that meeting, came to Bethel so they can experience our service. So the teacher said, some of them have been in your church. I said, really? I said, how many of you came to the church? About four hands went up. I said, how many of you would come back? They didn't raise a hand. They put their hands down. I said, well, let me explain something to you. I said, my people were not born with silver spoons. And so for us, the Bible is real. If he says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, because we didn't have health insurance, we believed he healed. I said, see, you come from an environment where you were born with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. You were born. You didn't have an HMO. Some of you didn't even need medical insurance. Your parents could just pay the doctor bill cash. So your philosophy of the word of God is shaped by your cultural realities. I said, you might not praise the Lord like we do. I said, but you don't have to fight through five different gangs to get home. You don't have to pray that God brings your children home safe on the school bus or on the SEPTA bus. Your kids get picked up by limousines. But we have to believe God. See, your mothers didn't have to go out and work 8 hours a day while somebody else watched your child. We had to believe that God would keep our children. So at the end of the day, we had nothing but praise that he watched over our children. When your child comes home at the end of the day, they talk about all the bougie things. Our children can talk about how God watched over us. I said, so what you saw that offended you came from our reality that God is real. I said, it's us that feel sorry for you because you serve a cardboard God. We, listen, when we recite Psalm 23, we've walked through the valley of the shadow of death. We've had bullets fly into our houses. We've had the police run up and down our neighborhood. We've had to depend upon the name of the Lord to be a strong tower. They don't know like we know. That he's not just the God of Villanova. He's not just the God of Bryn Mawr. He's not just the God of the ritzy suburbs. He's the God of the hood. He's not just the God of Montego Bay. He's the God of Kingston and Spanish Town. You ain't gonna find him always on a mountaintop. Sometimes he's in the valley. Late at night when your heart is broken, when you don't have any theology, when you don't have a ritzy song to sing, all you have is, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because they've been so subjected to lies that they can't receive truth. You're finding that it is difficult, becoming increasingly difficult, to give someone the truth of the gospel and have them believe it. Why? There's been so many lies. Even from the perspective of Christianity. Christianity is now considered just another religion that is slowly being assimilated into the Muslim faith. Chrislam. Paul is probably rolling over up in heaven. I can't believe the church is allowing this. We've lost our distinction. But I have good news. You're about to get it back. This is for those that have spiritual insight. You see, the church was lulled into sleep from about the mid-70s to about the 90s. You see, we were caught up in blessings and prosperity, and we were moving in the charismatic movement of the taking of God and making him so, impersonal, or personal rather, so that he was losing his authoritative position. While we were so busy dealing with the things of God, the devil was building walls so that we could not get to the God of the things. So our worship, our preaching, our entire existence began to become fueled by what God can do for us rather than who he is in us. The devil was sly, crafty, and cunning. He knew that if I could just let you deal with the fringes of God, the blessings of God, when troubles come, you won't have the stickability to be able to keep standing even when your faith is threatened. Somebody in here ought to know what I'm talking about. If your faith has not been tested, then how do you know you have faith? If you have never come to the place where you wonder if this thing is real, then how do you ever know that it's real? Lord, have mercy. Watch this. And so what he did in keeping us focused on stuff, we were no longer moving in power. I was with a group of pastors a couple of weeks ago, and I never like to go. But there are times God says, go. And I say, no, because I know what's going to happen. You're going to send me down there. And you're going to have me say something that makes everybody hate me. And I'm tired of being despised. This is getting old now. Somebody ought to like me. I said, now, bless God, I got to even come to my own church and be despised. I said, Lord, only one that liked me is Marcy. She's the only one. We love you, Pastor. The only one. Bless her heart. Dude, look at her. She's just so God. So I went there, and the moderator said, I wonder why we're not able to reach this generation like we could reach earlier generations. And I'm sitting there, and I'm feeling it rise up in me. Holy Spirit came and sat in the empty chair next to me and said, say it. I said, no, I ain't doing it. I said, there's spirit-filled people around this table. You do it. He said, say it. I said, no. So I got up, I said, excuse me, I have to go to the restroom. And so I went. I didn't have to do anything, I just wanted to go to the restroom. And I came back and I figured they had changed the conversation. They were still in the conversation. And I'm sitting down and I'm rocking now. And I'm doing the dangerous thing, I'm rubbing my knees. My daughter says, oh, God, she said, Daddy, rubbing his knees. And when I start rubbing my knees, that's like I'm starting to get comfortable, and I know something's about to happen. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord says, say it. I said, no, you can't get me to do this. I'm tired of you doing this to me. I said, I'm like Jeremiah, I ain't doing it. I said, but I can't. I said, let me tell you. I said, it's not because we don't have the word. We got a lot of word. And the devil let us have a lot of word. And we've gone to schools to get more word. And we keep getting word. And we keep getting word. I said, but we don't have any power. And every cult They work for power. Even demonically inspired people respect power. You come into service every week and leave without power. But God said, I'm getting ready to pour out power. You have enough word, but in order, my God, my God, my God. Watch this. Sit down, sit down, sit down. I don't know if they're ready. All right, watch. I'm a fan of wrestling. I like wrestling dating way back. Way, way back to the days of Bruno Sammartino and, oh my God, Andre the Giant. The Ultimate Warrior. And I noticed that when the wrestler, particularly the Ultimate Warrior, when he would get beat down. And then the crowd would start chanting. And he would get up, and my daughter and I used to love it. He would grab the top rope of the ring and start shaking it. And when he was shaking it, his opponent would back up because he was getting this infusion of power. But he never did that until he was getting beat down. He didn't need the power until the enemy was getting the better of him. You see, a lot of you are going through stuff right now that you never thought you could go through, and you are surviving even though you didn't think you were going to survive. But the power that is in you is now being loosed because you've come to the end of yourself, and you have now come to realize greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
04216A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Calling all preachers, evangelists, ministers, and carriers of the Word of God. Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. and the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invite you to attend Preaching Workshop 2016. This year's theme is Releasing the Fire with Specific Purpose. Come and learn from dynamic preachers of the Word, including Dr. Wesley Pinnock of True Light Fellowship Church, Pastor Clement M. Lupton III of Beloved St. John Evangelistic Church, and Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., presiding bishop of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. You'll have an opportunity to develop new strategies that will make your preaching effective for the Lord. Workshop topics include preaching for evangelism, preaching for training, and preaching for sanctification. The cost for materials and lunch is $20 per person. It's all taking place Saturday, July 16th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. To register, call 215-885-2585, extension 314, or visit BethelDeliverance.org.